From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. We've got a great show for you today. We got movie director Barry Sonnenfeld. He'll be here to talk about Men in Black and all kinds of other cool things he's done. But first, every week we get emails from people saying they hate our canned laughter. They think we're using a laugh track. They don't seem to realize that we have a live audience here. And I mean, trying to make these guys laugh at a joke they don't like would be like herding cats with tote bags, am I right? Anyway, we have a great show for you today, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Kevin Carruth in Rockport, Texas.
They like you here, Kevin.
Better than the alternative.
I guess so. What town are you from in Texas?
Rockport.
And where is Rockport?
We are about the middle of the coast, right there where it takes a bend. We're about 25 miles north of Corpus Christi.
Oh, I see. And what do you do there?
I am the city manager.
Oh, wow. So you're in charge of Rockport.
On my delusional days, I think that.
And what's it like being the most powerful man in Rockport?
I don't know. Ask my wife.
Well done, sir. Well done. Well, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a comedian who'll be performing at the Lakewood Theater in Dallas on June 2nd. It's Paula Poundstone is here.
Hey, Kevin.
Next, it's a humorist and author of the audiobook It's Just Like I Told You, 25 Years of Comments and Comic Pieces, available at a download near you. It's Tom Baudette is right here.
Hi, Kevin.
Finally, it's the woman who writes the syndicated Ask Amy column for the Chicago Tribune and hosts the all-advice website, AskAmyDaily.com. It's Amy Dickinson is here. So, Kevin, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
You bet.
All right, here's your first quote.
I too, want to slow jam the news.
That was somebody appearing on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon this week who picked up the mic and got smooth this week.
Barack Obama.
Yes, President Obama. Very good. Yes, remember? Maybe, if you can, when young people and college kids packed auditoriums and stadiums to cheer candidate Obama in 2008, well, that was before they all got distracted by Pinterest or whatever it is. So the president is starting the general election season by trying to excite the kids again. He did a comedy bit with Jimmy Fallon. He's been on a barnstorming tour of campuses. He's talking about issues important to young people, student loans, how freaky that Tupac hologram was, and creating a national program to help low-income students get fake IDs. The president has also been popping up in youth hangouts in college towns to hang with the youth of today. At the University of Colorado, for example, one young woman was so excited she spilled her yogurt on him. That led her to being questioned by the Secret Service, the question being, so, what are your rates? It's a reflex. They're trained. What can I tell you?
But you know what? If that would have been corn dog mustard, it would have got him an extra 500,000 votes. Like, of course,
yeah,
it's yogurt. You know,
right.
Yeah.
It's one of those liberal foods.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not smear him with quinoa while you're at it? Yeah. Seriously. What do you think of the argument that he's getting too informal? That this is beneath the dignity of his office.
I thought the Twister thing was not good.
Bit much. Mm-hmm.
When he played Twister at the Rat House?
Yeah. I've said it before, but I think I hate seeing the president on talk shows.
Really? Why?
It just bothers me. I just think it cheapens the office. And I think him selling the Swiffer was the wrong move.
Right. But is there an element, because you're somebody you're like a professional. Is there an element of that where you feel like, hey, bud, leave it to the pros?
Oh, yeah, he's on my territory.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, look, I don't order drone strikes. You don't go on late night and tell jokes.
Well, I have ordered drone strikes. Right, well,
that was a hypothetical, maybe poorly chosen.
Well, you know, I'm not saying they were carried out, but certainly I picked up the phone and ordered them. Yeah, don't cross me. Yeah, it wasn't on another country or anything. It was the American Apparel sales clerk.
I'm sorry we don't have that in your size. Death from above, lady!
I wish that's what the young man had said.
What did he say?
This is what he said. He said, a lot of older women come in here looking for larger sizes.
Oh! Oh, a predator drone would be too good for him, Paula. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So I picked up the phone. Well,
so how long have you worked in sales, young man?
Yeah, a lot of older women come in here and ask for the bigger sizes. I swear, that guy said that to me. Yeah, I've forgotten him. I've walked it off.
Yeah, really.
All right, Kevin, here's your next quote.
I have to listen to their message and take them into account and not think it is time to hold my nose.
So who's listening to the message and not holding his nose when it comes to the voters telling him they might not want him to be president of France anymore?
Oh, good grief. Nicolas Sarkozy.
Yes, Nicolas Sarkozy. Very good.
There you go. Hold it.
President Sarkozy of France ran for re-election and came up, well, a little short. He came in second in the first round of voting. That's the first time that's ever happened to a sitting French president. Although technically he's not a sitting president. He's been standing the whole time. He got beat by a socialist candidate. He's now the front runner for the presidency. It is so different in France. There hasn't been a prominent socialist in American politics since one became president 4 years ago. But since then, really.
Now, didn't they say, like, that he was, like, too mean or something?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. They don't like him. I mean, he's not a very popular man.
How was he mean?
He's rude, which, again, this is France.
In France, I know.
And you know the name of his party? I didn't know this. It's Union for a Popular Movement. I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
That is catchy.
I mean, everybody likes a popular movement,
it's
right?
True. Yeah.
Cottonelle is using that, aren't they?
Cottonelle.
One of the problems that Sarkozy might have had was that just a few weeks ago, very poorly timed, it was right before the election, he banned the after-dinner cheese course at the presidential palace. This is true.
No.
He loves cheese, Sarkozy, but every time he tried to grab some, the trap would snap shut in his neck. It's really, I mean, you have to say this about French diversity. It's wonderful that a borrower became president of France.
Peter, you're not real tall, are you?
This is radio, Paula. Yes, I am. Kevin, here is your last quote.
I'm going to be the nominee. The odds are very high. I'm going to be the nominee.
That was somebody speaking last December to ABC News. This week he realized at long last that no, he was not going to be the nominee. Who is it?
The Newt.
Newt!
All
Newt
right.
Gingrich! Exactly right. I realize Newt campaigned as if all the factors against him, money, organization, the fact that he is Newt Gingrich, didn't matter. And he staked his whole campaign, just his last desperate chance was upsetting Mitt Romney in Delaware. At least Newt's finally realized his greatest strength, upsetting people. But he lost in Delaware like he did everywhere else this week, and on Wednesday, he went to the bedside of his dying campaign and told it he was leaving.
Boy, cheat on your wife and look what happens.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, boy, Peter Sagal gets a hold of it. It's like a rag doll in a dog's mouth.
Yeah, really, got it.
Peter really turns it on his ear and makes it look bad, doesn't he?
He does. He does.
Carl, how did Kevin do in our quiz?
Kevin, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or answering machine.
Well done, Kevin. Congratulations. Thanks so much for playing.
Hey, appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Right now, panel, as traditional, time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Tom, this week a cow escaped a Colorado farm and fled right to where?
This wasn't the mad cow.
No.
Okay.
It was annoyed.
I would say it became a horrified cow.
Escaped right... Oh, to the slaughterhouse?
No.
Oh, worse?
Further down the chain.
Further down the chain. To the meat market.
No, further down the chain.
Boy. The sewage plant. No.
Come back a little. Come back a little.
How far down are we going?
Too far.
Back up the chain.
A restaurant, a hamburger joint.
McDonald's.
There we go, McDonald's.
The cow's like, freedom! Sweet freedom, I claim sanctuary. Wait a second, what the hell are you guys eating? And then it's like, oh my God, they said the other cows were all going to college. Darcy the cow escaped from her farm in Brush, Colorado. Her owner didn't even know about it till the cops called her to tell her that Darcy was at the drive-in window at the local Mickey D's. This is the most upsetting event at a McDonald's since a sheet of particle board escaped and discovered the McRib.
Cows in the kitchen, moo, moo, moo. Cows are in the kitchen, moo, moo, moo. The cows are in the kitchen, moo, moo, moo. What will we do, Mr.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Paula Poundstone, and Tom Baudet. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Mary McDonald in Berkeley, California.
Hey, how are things in beautiful Berkeley?
They're wonderful. Nice sunny day here.
And what do you do for fun in the beautiful Bay?
Oh, one of my favorite things right now is volunteering at the local music house.
Oh, cool. And do you get to see, have you ever seen anybody like famous when they were just getting started?
Well, I've seen Girly Man and Eric Bibb and Peter Mulvey, some really good players.
You could be making those names up. I'd have no idea.
Yeah, I love Girly right. Man.
Girly
though.
Man, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Girly Man is great.
Mary, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Mary's topic?
Nothing. Nothing comes between me and my Carls.
Can't sell anything these days without a little celebrity flash to help you out. This week, though, we read about a celebrity-based marketing campaign that might hurt more than it will help. Our panelists are going to tell you about three misguided celebrity endorsements. Only one of them actually is in the works. Guess that true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with Tom Baudet.
When a quasi-legal new athletic energy bar went looking for a spokesperson and a marketing angle, you'd think that disgraced and indicted former Major League pitcher Roger the Rocket Clemens would have been the last one they'd think of. He was, said marketing director Sarah Coffey, but like the key to anything, it's always the last place you look. Clemens is seen in the newly branded Rocket Fuel ad, munching hungrily on the product while working out, with clips of his historic baseball triumphs thrown in. Then Clemens looks into the camera and deadpans, "Put a rocket in your pocket. It works so well, I'll deny I ever used it." Under oath. The ads have been about as popular as you'd expect, and Ms. Coffey says she's looking for a new branding strategy and a job.
Roger Clemens Energy Bar. Your next story of an unfortunate endorsement comes from Amy Dickinson.
Americans have often found French taste rather inexplicable, what with their affection for frog's legs and Jerry Lewis. But now the French may have pushed the boundary un peu avec fromage. That means a little too far. A government-run daycare center has opened in Paris and named after Woody Allen, not a name Americans associate with healthy child-rearing practices. What with his rearing his own stepchild and all. Oh, we French don't care about that, said Hallie Anson, spokesperson for Les Petits Enfants, Woody Allen Daycare Center. The center uses themes from Woody Allen movies. The sleeper, sleep mats for nap time. Love and Death, playground equipment. Annie Hall, dress-up corner, followed, of course, by Bananas for snack.
the Woody Allen Daycare Center opening in Paris. And your last story of someone taking advantage of a famous person's reputation comes from Paula Poundstone.
When someone in an advertising brainstorming session suggests using Helen Keller to sell sunglasses, after the guilty laughter, usually the leader of the meeting would step in and say, "Come on, guys, let's get to work." Sometimes there's just something in the air, so someone else can't help throwing out the idea of Karen Carpenter buffet at the Olive Garden, the Sarah Palin talking globe, or perhaps Elephant Man skin softener. But eventually things settle down, and they put a sports store on a Wheaties box and a supermodel hawks a line of makeup. Apparently, however, a Chinese sunglass maker had to break up their advertising meeting before they were able to get serious. The Shiman Jishi Company has put out an ad for Helen Keller sunglasses with the slogan, "You see the world sees you." Stay tuned for her line of colorful house paints.
All right, these are your choices. One of these was a real celebrity-associated product that went on sale recently. From Tom Bodette, an energy bar endorsed by that known user of energy enhancement, Mr. Roger Clemens. From Amy Dickinson, a daycare center in Paris named after Woody Allen. Or from Paula Poundstone, Helen Keller brand sunglasses. Which of these is a real product or service that you can go out and get?
This one's a hard one.
It is.
I think I'm going to have to go with Tom, the first
story.
You're
going to go with Tom's story, which is Roger Clemens, currently on trial for perjury.
Yeah, we'll try that.
Going for the energy bar endorsement.
Yeah.
All right, well, we spoke to somebody who knew about this real thing.
Helen Keller sunglasses are a range of sort of fashionable sunglasses aimed at young Chinese consumers.
Apparently successfully, that was Thomas Orlick, author of Understanding China's Economic Indicators and the Wall Street Journal's correspondent in Beijing, talking about, of all things, the Helen Keller line of sunglasses now available in China. So I'm sorry. Obviously, Paula had the real story.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
But Mary, thank you.
So thanks so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Helen Keller can see lots more than me on even the brightest day.
And now the game where we ask little questions to people who've done big things. Barry Sonnenfeld either directed or shot some of the best movies of the 80s and 90s. He was the cinematographer on the Coen Brothers' first movies, directed the Men in Black movies and Get Shorty, among other works of dark comic genius. His movie Men in Black 3 is coming out next month. We're delighted to have him with us. Barry Sonnenfeld, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks, Peter. Glad to be here.
It's really exciting to have you. I love your movies pretty much ever since the first Coen Brothers movie I saw.
Sure.
Let's do some biography. You grew up in New York City?
I grew up in Washington Heights. I was an only child of Jewish persuasion.
Really? Now, in the cultural stereotype with which I am familiar, that would mean that your parents doted on you somewhat. Was that true?
Well, let's just say we recently passed Earth Day, and on April 22nd, 1969, at 2:20 in the morning, during an Earth Day concert, while Jimi Hendrix was warming up, the following announcement came over the speakers at Madison Square Garden. Barry Sonnenfeld, call your mother.
No.
You are kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Oh, whoa.
And did you, in fact, call your mother?
Well, I was supposed to be at home at 2. It was 2:20. So, and by the way, the perseverance of my mother to actually find someone at the garden and convince them this was an emergency was so amazing that by the time I got to the payphone, this is pre-cell phones, I assumed someone had died. So I called my mother uncontrollably in tears and said, "Who died?" And her response was, "I assumed you did. Why aren't you at home?"
Wow.
And how many years of therapy have you had, sir?
You know, not enough, as it turns out.
Apparently. Well, we have benefited from that, I guess. So you're a Jewish kid. You grew up in New York with a Jewish mother. Whenever I've seen a photo of you, you're always wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat.
Yes. You see, the truth is I embrace all thing cowboy. It's my way of trying to be manly. I often wear fake cowboy mustaches.
Really?
You know, when you're on the set and it gets really boring, you say to the hair and makeup people, hey, you got any interesting mustaches today?
Have you ever actually spent time with or around actual cowboys doing cowboy things, riding and roping and stuff like that?
I forgot to mention that I direct while sitting on the saddle.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What?
I'm on a saddle that sits on what's called an apple box that has wheels. And recently the grips had to add additional wheels because the saddle kept throwing me.
Oh. Wait a minute. It's like, cut everybody. The director's chair just threw him to the ground.
Yes.
I had always understood...
Yeah.
That a movie director needs to be a dictator, needs to exude absolute authority to get everybody to get together and move in the same direction, all these egos, actors and technicians and artists. Does the saddle help with that?
Well,
and the cowboy hat?
One of the things that I learned from my mother, I call strength through weakness.
Okay.
And I find that if you look like you're in need, because, you know, the saddle is... throwing you and stuff, others will really come and sort of take up the slack.
So instead of like striking fear into their hearts or demanding their loyalty with your authority, you're sort of relying on their pity. They're like, oh, let's not misbehave. Barry might crack.
Oh, God, yes. And it's worked for me quite well.
Barry, didn't you direct Wild Wild West?
Yes, and that was... very difficult because of the actual horses involved in that movie.
I know.
Yes, Wild Wild West, this was the reboot of the famous TV series that had Will Smith and Kevin Klein. And it was an actual Western. There you were. Horses. Did you actually get to ride a horse around?
I personally avoided the horses. You don't want to go anywhere near a horse. They're kind of really scary to me.
Wait a minute. So you dress like a cowboy. You sit on a saddle when you're directing your movies. But you are scared of horses. You're saying that you approach these topics, these Westerns, these big movies, out of a sense of fear and anxiety?
It's funny you say that because my motto in life is live in fear.
Well, how does that work out?
It's great because you're never disappointed.
I wanted to ask you about Men in Black 3. It's coming out next month. And it's weird because a lot of guys, particularly in Hollywood, end up making sequels to their films. These days, I mean. But this is 15 years after the first one came out. Is it weird to go back to the same characters and the story and the same look so many years after you did it the first time?
You know, it's been great because Will Smith is the same sort of overly energetic guy. I describe him as if he's an eight-month-old Great Dane puppy. You know, on various shows, he's harmed me on... Wild Wild West, he broke my fifth metacarpal in five places.
How did he do that?
I hit his shoulder.
Why did you hit his shoulder?
Peter, you can't believe how boring making movies can be.
All
and
right.
So Will and I got into a habit of trading punches. And he would hit me as hard as he could, and I would collapse in pain in my shoulder. And then I would hit him as hard as I could, and he would laugh uncontrollably. And one day I decided I want to hurt Will Smith.
Well, who hasn't thought that? But go on.
Well, I punched him so hard, and his shoulder is like hitting, you know, like a brick wall. So I collapsed in pain, had to go to the hospital. Couldn't say why this happened because, you know, we're responsible adults here.
Couldn't you just say that you fell off your fake horsey?
Well, you know, I could have. Instead, I said I walked into a door.
With your fist?
Well, you know, with my fist. It can happen. And when the doctor rolled up my sleeve to take my blood pressure, he saw that my shoulder was covered in red, orange, purple, green, and yellow welts from Will hitting me. And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "I have no idea." So basically, I was a battered wife.
You know, I understand. So what I love is that you said this, you introduced this story by saying that Will Smith broke your hand, and it turns out he broke your hand by standing there while you attempted to hit him.
Listen, he also tore my rotator cuff, and I recently had to have surgery because he tackled me and shoved his chin into my shoulder. And when I sent him the post-op photos of me with tubes, you know, coming out of my nose and stuff, he emailed me back saying, and I quote, "That's hilarious."
So I guess we understand why it took 10 years between the Men in Black movies. You had to recover from your injuries.
Exactly.
It sounds like the only solace you have is your fake horse.
You know, the fake horse has been, it's just fantastic. In fact, the last couple of days of shooting, the prop people, they actually put a tail on this on the horse, which is pretty great. No, I swear to you, it's something that you're making fun of, but you would be jealous and wish you had one.
I am. As soon as this show is over, I am demanding of my producers that I get a little saddle on some crates. And I want to wear boots and chaps and have a hat.
I will send you photos.
I believe it. Well, Barry Sonnenfeld, what a pleasure to talk to you.
You too.
We've invited you here to play a game we're calling
Men in White.
Your heroes wear black, your Men in Black movies, but cricketers, that would be those who play cricket.
Yep.
They wear white.
Yep.
We don't know why they wear white. We don't know anything about cricket. But the question is, do you, sir, answer three questions correctly about the game that probably has a charming old nickname, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their voicemail. Carl, who is director Barry Sonnenfeld playing for?
Barry is playing for Tim Sheehan of Sandwich, Massachusetts.
Ready to play?
Yep.
All right. Here's your first question. Which of these is a real rule of cricket? A, any player can appeal an umpire's ruling by shouting, "How's that?" B, your team is docked one run if you are seen to step on or otherwise harass an insect on the field. Or C, I don't know what this means, but quote, the wicket crease cannot be popped during an innings.
I like anything involving yelling.
So you're going to go with how's that?
I'm going with how's that.
You're right, how's that? That's the rule.
Oh, jeez.
Rule in cricket is, you can appeal the umpire's ruling, and they shout, how's that? Or it's become informal, they go, how? And the umpire says, out. All right, next, you're doing very well. Which of these, this is the next question, which of these is legal under the rules of cricket? A, insulting the other players during play. B, the pitcher or bowler can spit on the ball all he wants. Or C, if he wants to, the batsman can just pick up the ball and throw it.
Well, I don't think it would be spitting because that seems uncivilized. I'm going to go with picking up the ball and throwing it.
If you get frustrated trying to hit it, you can just pick it up, throw it as far as you can.
I'm going to go that way.
Actually, it's spitting. Believe it or not, spitballs are legal in cricket. You can spit on the ball, and you can polish the ball to try to make it spin. However, one Pakistani bowler in a big cricket match went too far and caused a scandal a while ago when he was caught doing what? Was it A, subbing in a magic eight ball for the cricket ball, B, attaching a string to the ball so he could pull it back, or C, biting the ball like an apple?
Well, I'm going biting.
And you're right, sir. That's right. The rules are you can spit on the ball, but you can't deface it, cut it, or put on a foreign substance. Biting was going too far. He was banned for 2 games. Carl, how
now, I have to admit that I once had a landlord who was a famous Jewish cricket player from South Africa.
So you know a little bit about cricket?
Nothing. I just had a landlord who was a
wherever he is now, he's very proud of you. Carl, how did Barry Sonnenfeld do in our quiz?
Well, Barry, you had 2 correct answers, so that's enough to win for Tim Sheehan of Sandwich, Massachusetts. Congratulations.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Barry Sonnenfeld's new movie, Men in Black 3, opens May 25th. Barry Sonnenfeld, thank you so much for being with us.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Tom Baudette, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl selects Nantucket in the first round of the National Limerick League Draft. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, the fallout is continuing from the Secret Service scandal with various investigations going on, firings, resignations happening seemingly every day. Sources say at least two of the accused agents might be innocent of cavorting with prostitutes. What is their excuse?
They found a late night bingo game. Can I have a hint?
Well, it wasn't that they weren't willing; they weren't able.
Oh, they were passed out drunk.
They were passed out drunk. The idea is,
it's very often you get to use that as an excuse.
Exactly. Their excuse was they were too drunk. So no worries. They did not sacrifice their morals or the security of their mission because they were plastered. They were just playing the old Secret Service drinking game in which you drink until you're protecting two presidents. I'll dive in front of one on the left. So these two, I guess, can go back to their jobs protecting the president, but they will have to remove their novelty T-shirts reading Colombian Party Cartel. Also, one of the agents told investigators, yes, he did take a prostitute back to his hotel room, but he did not know that she was a prostitute until she asked for money. Isn't this guy the real threat to national security? Isn't obliviousness grounds to lose your security clearance? It's like, Agent Smith, why did you let that would-be assassin get so close to you and the president? He's like, I thought she just really liked me. By the way, Thursday of this week was Take Your Child to Work Day, so the State Department spokesman had to answer questions about the scandal in front of all these kids who were there with their parents.
No.
And it's like parents had to explain what they were talking about later. It's like, you see, honey, when a man loves a woman very much and the woman takes major credit cards, well...
Thursday was Take Your Kid to Work Day?
Yes.
Oh, I feel awful.
That was...
You forgot.
I didn't bring my kids to work.
I work at home. Every day is Take Your Kid to Work Day.
Yeah.
I can't get them out of there.
Paula, a German police force recently updated their fleet with 800 new, sleek, sporty patrol cars. One problem, though, what?
The 800 sleek, sporty patrol cars... let's see, they were the shifty kind, and nobody knows how to drive those.
No. I'll give you a hint. You know the thing where the cops do where they push people's heads down to fit them into the cars?
Yeah.
Maybe they can do that to themselves.
They can't fit in them.
Right. They can't fit in the cars. The cops can't. The new Opel patrol car is a sporty wagon with sporty bucket seats, but many German policemen do not have sporty chassis. Even if they did, they can't fit in the seats when they're wearing their equipment belts with all their stuff. Nobody bothered to check before they spent the $33 million in the new cars.
That wow. does not sound very German to me.
No, the bad news is they've wasted all this money. The good news is they've taken a blow against the stereotype for being smart and efficient. So.
There you go.
That's
you know what kind of car you're going to be renting when you go to Germany now.
A nice little Opel.
There's a solution. There's a solution. Larger cops... or in German, der große Körper, can simply arrest themselves so they can ride in the back. Amy, despite apologizing, three British tourists who were visiting Australia are facing charges after allegedly doing what during a drunken night in the town?
They really did go waltzing with Matilda?
They did not go waltzing with Matilda.
With a kangaroo?
No. Maybe they thought they were like freeing a small nun from a convent.
Oh, it involves a penguin?
It does. They kidnapped a penguin.
Oh, I hate that.
Anyone can wake up from a bender next to a strange woman. Or man, I guess. But it takes a true champion of binge drinking to wake up next to a flightless seabird named Dirk.
Oh, no.
The men claim they have no memory of breaking into SeaWorld, swimming with the dolphins, and then stealing the penguin, who once again is named Dirk. Dirk the penguin.
No.
For his part, Dirk says he wouldn't have gone with them, but he was pretty wasted himself. Adding, you think I'd walk like this if I was sober?
Oh, no. Was Dirk okay?
Dirk is totally fine. This is what happened. Right. They were like, oh my God, we got a penguin. Oh my God, we got to bring it back. So they brought it back. They left it like near a shark-infested pool, which was not cool. But they're fine. Dirk the penguin is fine. And then they would have gotten away with it, but they bragged about it on Facebook.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
So there's a lesson for you. If you get drunk, steal a penguin, bring it back before you're caught. Don't brag about it on Facebook.
How do you stay quiet about something?
Truly.
Honestly. You can't play. It's totally worth it, whatever happens to them, because now the world knows.
Why, is that illegal?
Why do you ask, Paula?
Yeah. Paula, do you have to run home real quick? Why do you ask?
I just got to make a call.
Coming up is Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first is the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to get a drink in the desert when you're really thirsty and no one's looking.
Oh.
Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yo, this is Dirk the Penguin.
Oh, Lord. There you are. Authorities in Australia have been looking for you.
Whatever you heard is not true.
Apparently not.
So really, this is Kathy from Missouri.
Hey, how are things in Missouri, Kathy?
Beautiful. You should come.
Where do you live down in Missouri?
I live in Farmington. It's about 60 miles south of St. Louis.
Uh-huh. What do you do there?
I am a professional grandma.
Really? I didn't realize you can get paid for that.
Well, I don't get a paycheck, but the payments are out of this world.
Kathy, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Peter.
Carl Castle is now going to perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a big winner. Ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Here's your first limerick.
In the outback, strange things have occurred. No people here, yet I hear words. Some parrots escaped, and learning took shape. I hear cursing from potty mouth.
Birds.
Right. Birds in Australia are learning English from former pet birds that have escaped into the wild. And since the pet birds learned English from Australians, most of the words are not polite. Now, instead of the sweet chirp of chicks greeting their mothers back to the nest to regurgitate food for them, the baby birds are like, you gotta be bleeping kidding me. What? And bird watching is different in Australia. You put up your binoculars to look, and the birds are like, what are the bleep you looking at? They were from New Jersey, actually. They were
from New Jersey.
Here is your next limerick, Kathy.
Okay.
On the outside, I sound like a nutter as I'm clearing away mental clutter. My thoughts do not stray because they hear what I say. So I'm really okay when I...
mutter?
Yes! Talking to yourself helps. Yes, that's right. Talking to yourself helps you focus, according to Wisconsin researchers caught talking to themselves. Really? This is how it works. That works. You're looking for your car keys. You can't find your car keys? Just say car keys, car keys, car keys, car keys over and over to yourself like that, and it will focus your mind on solving the problem. So you'll either suddenly remember where your car keys are, or someone will hear you and send you away to a mental institution where you never need drive again. Problem.
I have a lot of experience with this.
Do you really?
Yeah.
No, that works. I don't know how many times I go out to the refrigerator in the garage to get something, and I stand there with the door open. I have no idea. Was it the eggs, the milk, the orange juice, the yogurt? Was it... what was it? So I've started doing that. I didn't need the research.
Oh, yeah.
I go out there, get the milk, get the milk, get the milk, get the milk. And I open up the door, and I get the milk. It works wonderfully.
Really? You actually say this to yourself over and over again?
I do, yeah. It is. It's pathetic.
I do the exact same thing.
What do you do?
I'll get up and go, Tom's getting the milk, Tom's getting the milk, Tom's getting the milk. I've been following you.
that's who's in the other room.
All right, here is your last limerick.
My new GPS doesn't scold, so I drive where and how I am told. It's a long, slower drive, but it keeps me alive. It avoids busy roads, 'cause I'm...
I'm old.
Yes, that's the answer. Gone are the days of hiding Grandpa's car keys to stop him from driving his car, because now we can just say car keys over and over, and he'll immediately know where they are. Thanks a lot, previous limerick. But British innovators have come up with a new GPS for older people. It gives them directions that steer them away from busy highways and complicated intersections. It's guaranteed to distract them from the fact that their left blinker is still on. Carl, how did Kathy do in our quiz?
Kathy, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done, Kathy.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
We'll see you down in St. Louis. We'll come. We'll come visit. Bye-bye now. And everybody's saying that there's nobody meaner than the little old lady from Pasadena. She's the terror of Colorado Boulevard. It's the little old lady from Pasadena. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Tom Beaudet has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Amy Dickinson and Paula Poundstone are tied for second. They both have 2 points each.
Ooh. All right. All right, we flipped a coin, and Amy has decided to go second, so Paula, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in that blank. Accused of using campaign funds to hide his mistress, former presidential candidate blank went on trial this week.
Oh, my heavens. Edwards.
Yes, John Edwards. The Justice Department arrested a former BP engineer on Tuesday for destroying text messages that detailed the blank.
The blow-up of the oil rig.
Right, the Gulf oil spill. On Wednesday, Connecticut became the 17th state to abolish the blank.
The death penalty.
Yes. According to a report from the Pew Hispanic Center, for the first time since the Great Depression, more blanks are leaving the U.S. than coming in.
Mexicans.
Yes, because they are kindred spirits, the village of Dull, England, has announced plans to forge a partnership with the town of Blank, Oregon.
Oh, boring.
Yes, boring Oregon. A soccer ball found in Alaska this week was traced back to a Japanese teenager who lost it during last year's blank.
Tsunami.
Right. This week, People magazine picked singer Blank as 2012's most beautiful woman.
Beyonce.
Right. A New York woman is suing her boss for firing her not long after she blanked.
Donated a kidney to her.
Yes, donated a kidney to save her boss's life. Debbie Stevens' boss needed a kidney, so Stevens donated her own kidney to a stranger so her boss could get one in exchange. Then the boss fired her. Stevens is suing, but her boss defended herself, saying, yeah, sure, the kidney is nice, but could she maybe have donated a little extra effort on the spreadsheet, huh? Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had a perfect round, Peter. 8 correct answers, 16 more points. She now has 18 points and the lead.
Oh. Really? You got everyone right.
On fire.
Yeah.
That may not have
ever
happened before. That was really impressive. All right, Amy, you're up next. Fill in the blank. This week, the biggest spring nor'easter since 1928 dumped up to 2 feet of blank in some areas of New England.
Snow.
Yes. This week, the Supreme Court heard testimony regarding Arizona's controversial blank law.
Immigration.
Yes. This week, South Korea and China warned that there would be consequences if blank goes ahead with its planned nuclear test.
North Korea.
Right. The Justice Department opened a probe this week into allegations of bribery by blank in Mexico.
Walmart.
Right. An Idaho man is facing felony assault charges after forcing another man to blank.
Oh, he forced him. He had a pellet gun. He had a moonwalk.
Yes, to do the moonwalk. On Monday, Rudy Giuliani endorsed Republican presidential candidate blank.
Mitt Romney?
Yes. Help me. Last weekend, Chicago White Sox pitcher Phil Humber pitched the 21st blank in baseball history.
Perfect game.
Yes, indeed. 27 up, 27 down. A Scottish Coast Guard pilot was suspended this week after using his rescue helicopter to blank.
To buzz his old high school.
No. Use it to go pick up steaks from his favorite butcher. The Coast Guard crew had just finished a training exercise, decided to swing by the Orkney Islands to pick up some steaks for dinner, because, you know, they were in the area. And they had a helicopter. The Shetland Coast Guard has suspended the pilot and says the shopping trip was completely unacceptable because he forgot the beer. Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 16 points, but Paula maintains the lead with 18.
All right.
Oh,
Paula is dominant. So how many, then, does Tom need to win?
7 to tie, 8 to win outright.
Oh, man. It's going to be tough. Here we go, Tom.
It's a nail-biter.
For the game, Tom, fill in the blank. A retailer in South Korea has suspended the sale of U.S. beef after blank was confirmed in California.
Mad cow.
Right. 2 current and 2 former Transportation Security Administration screeners at LAX were charged with blank on Wednesday.
Drug smuggling.
Yes. Rupert Murdoch admitted Thursday that his company had been involved in a cover-up over the blank scandal.
The phone tapping.
Right. Police in Romania pulled over a naked woman riding a motorcycle and issued her a ticket for blanking.
Being naked riding a motorcycle.
No, that was fine, but she was doing it without a helmet. That was not fine. Intellectual property concerns emerged after online search engine Blank released its new online storage service.
Google.
Right. In a medical first this week, Blank was re-donated and transplanted for a second time.
Oh, the lady's boss's kidney was given back.
It wasn't
back
hers. It was a kidney, not hers. When asked if he sent a topless photo of himself to a court employee, a Detroit area judge said Blank.
I'm guilty.
I'm going to give it to you. That's what he said. But what he really said was, hot dog, yep, that's me. No shame to my game. Becoming my hero. Wayne County Judge Wade McCree, as you're rid of habeas corpus right here, ladies, speaking to reporters this week, he downplayed the fact that he had sent half-naked pictures of himself to female court employees. He's saying, hey, I'm shirtless at the YMCA every day when I go swimming. And then, this is true, he offered reporters a free show, saying, you can always get that here and now. Carl, did Tom do well enough to win?
He needed 7 to tie, but Tom had just 6 correct.
Oh, my God, so
with 18 points, Paula Poundstone is this week's champion.
How many
points?
It's a historic event.
Yes, it is.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, well, now that he's out of the GOP presidential primary, what is next for Newt Gingrich? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and to the National Association of Realtors and Advocate for Homeownership, more at houselogic.com/homeownership. Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. GoDaddy.com, working to help small businesses grow with an online presence. Details at GoDaddy.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord, and Worm King. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Jessica McLeod. Our intern is good old Kate Casey. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Delargic and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac here at Chase Bank. BJ Litterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what is next for Newt Gingrich? Paula Poundstone.
Newt Gingrich will, in fact, colonize the moon, from where he will teach a remarkable online bluster course.
Amy Dickinson.
Oh, he's going to power down Callista, pack her in styrofoam peanuts, and take her back home to Georgia.
And Tom Baudet.
With his medications properly adjusted at last, he will happily return to being a bizarre but oddly lovable history professor at a small Western Georgia college.
Well, if Newt Gingrich does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Girl Council. Thanks, also. Time for that, Paul Poundstone, Amy Dickinson. Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you next week, Lincoln, Nebraska. This is NPR.